Mr. Parsons, Reel 2.
And just talking about this going away, your parents were very good about it all. Your parents were very good about it all.
They were good, indeed. They were very good. They didn't put anything in my way at all. They said, right, you're making your own life, and you'll have to put up with it later, of course. I wasn't encouraged or discouraged.
Father and mother equally?
Yes, equally. Mm-hmm.
Mother was a bit disappointed that
she was disappointed because her darling son was leaving home, you see.
Just a matter of interest, what did your brother do eventually?
What the devil did he do? He went straight from... I don't think he had a job at all. No, he was 17, was it? Or less than 17. And he put his age on and went into the army. You see, because the war was on, you see. And he spent his time in the army. Very shortly he was over on the front line, was smashed up, was the only one of his regiment left in the front line. And he next found himself in Llandudno, in hospital. And was eventually invalided out from service. And within a week, he was down at the Naval Recruiting Office and joined up with the Navy.
If I can just...
was an apprentice milliner. One was a toucher-up in portrait... photographic shop, you know. In fact, that's one of her efforts up there. And another one went into the coal office, my eldest sister, because she, poor thing, was deformed, you see. And she went into the coal office that I'd been in, you see, and she stayed there until she died. The other one was too young. Oh, one was a cashier in a large draper shop in Brighton. Another one was too young, and eventually she went to the photographic place and did the same job.
These were all sort of jobs for middle-class girls?
Yes, that's right.
Things they would do.
Mm.
So the letter came from the Admiralty telling you to report to Brighton Station eventually.
Yes.
And to make your way to London. You had passed everything, and everything was...
That's right.
...seen and sorted out.
Mm-hmm.
And you arrived...
At Shotley. Mm-hmm.
Do you recall any strong feelings about the journey, about what you felt, about this was your big decision, this was freedom for you?
It was freedom, and that was the bottom of it all, I think, you know. And I was looking forward to it, very much indeed. The journey was far too long for me.
You weren't regretful, or you weren't slightly apprehensive?
I was not apprehensive at all, strangely enough. Because really, my ideas of the service was, they didn't amount to much at all. In spite of what I'd talked about with the Coast Guard, you know.
You didn't know really what you were doing.
No. See, my idea of one picture was always in my mind when I was thinking about the sea, was a beautiful steam sailing vessel going out of Portsmouth Harbour, wooden deck. Perfectly white and gleaming. The ship's company lined up, as they always did, you see, leaving a harbour, in their lovely blue jumpers, white duck trousers, straw hats. But it didn't strike me that somebody had to scrub those decks, somebody had to wash those trousers and so on. They were the rude awakening very shortly after getting to the service.
And I suppose I think that many boys must have been joining with much the same idea, and or as little idea as, in fact, you had yourself.
Yes.
Why did boys join the service, in fact?
I suppose a lot of them, myself, same feeling. They wanted freedom. And in addition to which, I think their life, perhaps, were pretty... tight. There was no money, you see, and their amusements were nil except what they made themselves. And there were not many prospects, although perhaps prospects didn't really worry them in that age, you see.
But patriotism was hardly the significant thing no, for most boys.
That's a strange thing. You often hear of chaps going before a board for promotion, and that's almost invariably the first question that is asked, why did you join the service, you see? Well, I did sit an examination for a mate, and I was up before the board, you see, and that was the first question they asked me. So I said, my intention was to join the service as a writer, because I love figures, as I told you. And that was my reason. I couldn't say that I joined because I wanted to serve His Majesty or His Majesty. And I don't think many boys thought of that at all in those days.
Yourself too, you were joining also as a kind of escape, really, weren't you? From
it was a kind of escape, yes. One felt closed in, you see. And it was, No.
Though, going on from there, that was one reason, certainly, you felt enclosed.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
It wasn't that unusual for what we would call middle-class boys to join as boy trainees like that. You reckon there were probably about 3 or 4 in a mess,
roughly speaking.
For the same reasons, do you think?
I think roughly the same reasons myself, yes. And they were invariably weeded out in the training ship. Of course, you all did your seamanship instruction. You did educational, you see. And that's where it showed these chaps up.
The general quality of recruits into the service was educationally pretty...
pretty low. Mm.
But you didn't necessarily get a literacy test before you entered. Some boys did, but you didn't, in fact.
No, I didn't.
And in due course, the Navy began to educate you. Quite a lot of the training was devoted to raising, or at least making sure boys were competent.
Yes.
What was the procedure, and how did this work out, and what was the general arrangement for education? Because it was interesting the way you talked about it.
Yes. Well, you all, as soon as you arrived, were put into classes. Educational, we're speaking of education mostly, naively. And you were given small tests, you see. And the schoolmasters used to evaluate those tests at the end of the week and so on, you see. And they say, oh, this chap's jolly good at geometry, if you like. Well, we'll concentrate on geometry for him. And then so on with various subjects. And as you're... as you proved yourself, so you were put into an advanced class. And then your education began to spread out from there, really, you see. You got mostly educational subjects that would be of use to you in during your career, you see.
What was the emphasis, in fact, then, useful to you in your career?
The usual subjects, you know. How shall we put it?
Sorry.
Yes, you went up quite steeply, really. You got your algebra, mathematics, geometry. We did start on electrical measurements. And, that's about as what I can think of it at the moment, you see.
Very few of the boys would be going as far as that, though.
Oh, no, they wouldn't. No, you were weeded down. So, out of, say, 100, say 200 boys, you might get about 20 in the advanced class, that's all.
And your class is beyond it at this stage, as you've been moved through it further and further, more and more time has been devoted to...
to the educational side, yes. In addition to which, of course, your time in the training ship lengthened with your instruction, you see. So that the chaps with an ordinary common garden standard would be drafted off to sea. But you, having a little bit more grey matter perhaps, given another month.
And this was in your favour, of course.
Of course. Oh, yes, yes.
Mm. Did it mean if you failed the next month's test that you would be out, or did you get another chance, or if you...
No, I think on the... I don't remember any failure, actually.
And we talked there about the subjects, you know, about algebra and geometry and that too. It was mainly the science-based, the mathematical type of subject.
Yes, yes, yes.
Not English and... Did you get any, in fact, of the arts type English?
No, nothing of the arts, no. That would be of no value to you in your career, you see.
This was vocational learning?
It's vocational, mm.
And who was responsible for the tutoring here in the Shuffley?
You had a warrant officer, commission warrant officer, and warrant officer, and chief petty officer schoolmasters, you see. And there was one officer, commissioned officer, superior to the whole lot, and he was responsible for that.
And these men, you said, took quite a great interest in as you moved through it and showed your paces.
They did. They did show interest. In fact, many times I've been dug out in the dog watches. Oh, come down to my cabin. I've got something you ought to see, you see. And it was perhaps a little bit of algebra, whatever you like, you see. No, they took a keen interest, those chaps.
And were quite happy to share their knowledge. And
oh, definitely, yes. In fact, there was one chief petty officer, schoolmaster. I followed him for many years in the service. And he was so clever that he used to earn more money ashore doing private work than he got from the service. Three or four times he asked be allowed to retire. They wouldn't let him go. Extraordinary fellow. But as I say, they all were keen to help chaps.
And they were keen to help you and did everything in them. And you would also help them by helping them to prepare their programs and, you know, do some office work for them.
Yeah, yes.
And they were also, in some cases, responsible for organizing the entertainments.
Oh, yes, yes.
This was part of the education task. And from your own point of view, if you showed promise in education, as you certainly did, and as other boys did, and presumably you were singled out as the course moved on slowly but surely, there was fewer and fewer of you.
Yes.
All of the same type, roughly speaking, middle-class boys mainly.
Yes, they were mainly, yes. Yes.
When... as each course moved away, would it be another lot come in and again the same weeding process?
Oh yes, yes, it was going on the whole time.
And though you were good educationally, I presume you had to be also pretty good seamanship-wise.
You did, yes, of course.
It was your view, I think, that the two ran roughly together.
Yes, yes. See, you had to bear in mind, of course, that your educational side did not continue when you'd left the training ship. Your seamanship did. You immediately went into training classes. You had seamanship training classes, gunnery, torpedo, and so on, you see. So that was going on the whole time. And you were always learning, practically, you see, your seamanship, which you were not doing educationally.